Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Welcome to Cook's Presbyterian Church. We're delighted that you're here with us to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, I have a couple of announcements to make before we get started. The first is, obviously, our sanctuary has been adorned with the lovely poinsettias this year. In the back, if you didn't grab one on the way in, is a list of all the people who've given in honor or in memory of. Grab one of these. It lets you know who has been so generous with their people. Also, we've got the circles coming up this Tuesday, December 19th at 6 p.m. All ladies are invited to join our Presbyterian Women's Circles. They join together for their Christmas party at the home of Gay List. Please note in this morning's bulletin for more details. We hope that you're planning to join us on Sunday, Christmas Eve. We've got two worship services that day. In the morning, this gang will know, there's going to be a really neat cantata. We started rehearsing. Well, I started rehearsing with them. They've been rehearsing for months this week, and it was just such a good time. Again, invite your friends to come to this service. It'll be on Christmas Eve morning at 10 o'clock. It's a real showpiece, so please come and get involved. And then also that night, we'll have our traditional evening service as well. So again, I know there's a lot going on Christmas Eve day. This year, it falls on a Sunday, and you can really lean into it and really maximize the joy of the season by attending church. It'll be a good time. We've got a correction. Glenn Monteith's name, please add that to your prayer list. He has COVID and is under quarantine until Wednesday, and his 92nd birthday is on Thursday, so please be in prayer for his speedy recovery. We also got word that Jerry McClure is right now having gallbladder surgery, so keep him in your thoughts. And your
Jimmy,
thank you. Jimmy is having gallbladder surgery right now as we speak, so please keep that family in your prayers. We now have going to have Petey come up and talk to us about our joy gift offering. But before we do, is there any other announcements that need to be brought to the congregation at this time?
Those of you that know my daughter Tanya, her husband Dan, who's just 36 years old, passed away Thursday morning.
Right. We had a loss in the congregation. Bev Weldy's son-in-law has passed away at 36. So we pray for her, for that family as well. Any others? Okay.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I will add to the announcements, if you plan on going to Gay's and you would like to carpool, please meet over at the church, the office, about 5:15 Tuesday night. And don't forget to bring the underwear for the children in Africa.
I thought you added that. Don't forget to bring underwear. Right?
Yes.
You just ended it there. That might be a little...
For our children. You may notice that the Christmas Joy Offering envelopes are out in the pews. This is one of the four annual special offerings that the Presbyterian Church takes up during the year. And the joy gift, we usually do it on Christmas Eve. I imagine they could probably do it on Christmas morning, too. But it provides assistance to current and retired church workers and their families in their time of need and helps develop our future leaders at Presbyterian-related schools and colleges, equipping communities of color. 50% of the gift goes for students to learn and grow in faith at the Presbyterian-related schools and colleges, and 50% of your gift assists current and retired church workers, including ministers and their families, with critical financial needs. So please remember to donate to the joy gift, and we thank you.
Now let's prepare our hearts and minds for the worship of God.
scripture for the fourth Advent Sunday comes from the New Testament. First John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God lives in them.
As we light the candle of love, let it be a testament to the greatest gift we have received, the unconditional, unfailing love of God. As this love transcends all barriers, heals all wounds, and bridges the greatest divides, it is the foundation of our faith and the essence of our being. In this season of Advent, as we reflect on this divine love, let us also strive to embody it in our actions, our words, and our thoughts, spreading its warmth and light into every corner of our lives and to all who we encounter.
Let us pray. Loving God, thank you for your immeasurable love. Teach us to love as you love, unconditionally and wholeheartedly. Amen.
Let's continue in prayer. A loving and almighty God, as we gather in this holy season of Advent, our hearts brim with a mix of emotions, anticipation, gratitude, humility, and even awe. In this time of watchful waiting, we remember the magnificent revelation of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our souls echo with the ancient words, "The light has dawned." In the birth of your Son, the light of your wisdom broke into our world, scattering the shadows of ignorance and sin. A light has dawned in every corner of our hearts and every moment of our lives, revealing the depths of your love and your grace. Lord, as we journey through this Advent, let "a light has dawned" be our guiding mantra. May it remind us of the hope that came into our world, the hope that continues to shine in our darkest hours. Open our hearts to the revelations you bestow upon us, revelations of your boundless mercy, your eternal truth, and your transformative peace. In this sacred season, as we reflect on the glory and mystery of the Incarnation, a light has dawned in our hearts, guiding us closer to you. Ignite in us a flame of love for others, a passion for your truth, and a desire to share the light of Christ with the world. In the precious and holy name of Jesus, our Savior and light, we pray. Amen. I invite you now to rise, those of you who are able, and join me in the singing of our first hymn, number 193.
Peace.
now with the joy and gladness in our hearts, we pass the peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In 1 John, we read the words, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." But John goes on to tell us that if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will not only forgive us of our sins, but cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness. So it's with humility and with faith that we come forward and declare these troubling words found in our prayer of confession. We do so aligning ourselves with God's will, and thus with his heart. So join me as we undertake our prayer of confessions, the words found in this morning's bulletin. Father in heaven, we come before you, acknowledging our need for your grace. In the hustle of the season, we confess that we often lose sight of its true meaning. We get caught in the trappings of the world and overlook the profound mystery of your incarnation. Forgive us for the times we have closed our eyes to the revelations of your truth and truth. We confess our distractions, our doubts, and our wanderings from your path. In your mercy, guide us back to a place of wonder and receptivity. Help us to embrace the revelations you offer each day, seeing in them your unending love and grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. By the waters of our baptism, we've been assured of a wonderful and everlasting truth, that we have been washed of our sins and promised eternal Father's love by our God in heaven. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven forever and ever. Amen. Now, having made our confessions, we turn our attention to affirming our faith. Today, we use the words of the Apostles' Creed, also found in this morning's bulletin. I invite you to find those words and join me as we say them together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated and join me in the singing of our second hymn. The words are going to be on the screen.
Thank you.
this point, we'd like to invite the kids to come forward for a time that's just for them with Mr. Clayton.
Hey everybody, what's happening? You doing all right? How was your week?
D's.
Your week was D's? You got D's? You know I'm not going there. Yes.
Oh my goodness. Here, let me switch this. That might help. There we go.
Yes, it was upside down, but sometimes I'm upside down, so that's consistent. Oh, how's your Christmas season going? Good? Eh? Just eh? Oh, good. Okay, I got a thumbs up. How's your Christmas season? Good? Yeah, okay, I got a shaking of head. Yes, that's very good. Well, today we're talking about revelation. Who can tell me what a revelation is? No, that's an explosion, not a revelation. What's a revelation? Do you know? What now? An explosion that reveals new parts of the earth. Oh, that was good. Nice segue into that. A revelation is something that was previously hidden that is now revealed. Something that was a mystery but now is open and shown to people. That's why the last book of the Bible is called Revelation, John's Revelation, because everything before that was closed. You couldn't see it, and then all of a sudden it's revealed. It's like, have you ever had a light bulb moment in your life where the light bulb goes, and you go, oh, now I know. Have you ever had that?
When I turn it on.
Eh? What is this eh? We got to get you one way or the other. Yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, but I'm talking about mentally and emotionally. I'm thinking of something just a little deeper than that. You can imagine a light bulb going on, yes. But when you get to that point, it's kind of exciting because if you've always wondered about something and you never got an answer and then all of a sudden you get an answer, you're like, oh, that's what it is. So it makes you feel good because now you have known something in the present that you didn't know before. Well, today's message is going to talk about the revelation of Christ. There are so many people still in this world that need the revelation of Christ. Their life is so much in a box that they can't see outside. And when you're living in a box, you're trapped. And you've got to get outside the box to see what God has for you. And that's what a revelation is. So when Christ is coming and we're celebrating the birth of Christ, God is revealing to us not only that He loves us, but He's giving us a Savior. And that Savior is what's revealed to the world, and through Him we have salvation. So keep that in mind. We got a week left this coming week. So think about maybe something this week that God's going to reveal to you that maybe you haven't thought of before. Okay, join me in prayer. Oh God, thank you for your Son.
Thank you for your revelation
of His mercy and grace.
As we continue to celebrate this season,
may we have the light bulb moments
that point us to that babe,
the light of the world.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you. You can go back.
Come now into a time of reading and proclaiming God's word. And as we do so, we always prepare with a prayer for illumination. Join me as we pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now in this reading and proclamation of your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit would attend to us all individually and corporately, awakening us to your truth, softening our hearts and turning us more to the light of our Lord Jesus Christ. Prepare us now, Father God, for this time with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. We are reading today scripture Isaiah 9, 2, 6, and 7, and it's page 683 in your pew Bible. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end.
Our New Testament reads is from later in the story of Luke into the second chapter. I chose it because it awakens for us this understanding that God's revelation to us is an ongoing process that begins at a certain point and then progresses and matures until we find ourselves like this character Simeon from our reading, whose fulfillment comes true. So I invite you now to hear this word of our Lord from the second chapter of the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading verses 25 through 35. Hear now the word of our Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and a glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts for many hearts may be revealed." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, it was an interesting day a couple of weeks ago as I woke up a little bit late and got on with my daily business. I had to go to a few stores, the grocery store, the cell phone store, just a few places along the way. But it wasn't long into my outing that I began to notice that people were treating me a little differently, a little oddly, if you ask me. And I really didn't have any reason for it. The people, they were all being just kind of extra careful in the way they spoke and the way they talked to me. And they really showed kind of a heightened level of care. Are you sure you're going to make it back to your car all right? And, you know, it was at one point, I just didn't know what was going on. I was completely in the dark. And then I happened to find myself in front of a mirror. And that's when I realized that I had failed in my rush out the door to comb my hair. And unfortunately, when you're losing your hair and you don't get it cut very often, it gets very long. And it when it bushes out, I look like Bozo the Clown, right? And so I'm sure what this group of people was trying to do was trying to, you know, ease my transition into the world, assuming that I had some real difficulties. But that, I'll tell you what, that standing in front of the mirror, man, that was a real revelation, right? Because that was when it all made sense. You know, we want to talk about revelations today, and we begin, like I said, with the fulfillment of Simeon's entire life's hope. You can't even imagine it. Now, Simeon was an older man as Jesus Christ came into the world, but man, he would have seen a lot. And he would have had some pretty robust hopes. First of all, to be an average and everyday, ordinary, rank-and-file citizen of Israel, to be in his age, Simeon could remember the days before the Romans, even. And it was likely that he would have had a certain nostalgia. Certainly, the contemporaries in his world would have remembered those days as well, longingly. And so he would have been in a bit of a discombobulated world. You could understand Simeon's plight if you think about how the world is changing for us today, especially for those of us who are kind of ensconced in churches. You know, we look outside and oftentimes see a world and we don't quite understand what's going on, right? We're a little sheltered, if you will. Well, Simeon wouldn't have gotten that sheltering because he would have been front and center with the Roman centurions. But along the way, God had given him such a special word that he would live to see, and the word in the Bible is very specific, the consolation of Israel. That he was going to be blessed to have this encounter with the hopes of Israel. What were the hopes of Israel? The hopes of Israel are recorded for us in the Old Testament, and they become very clear, especially as you get into the prophetic literature. The hope of Israel was the coming of the Messiah. Israel looked for a faithful continuer of David's line that would in fact restore peace, justice, and harmony to his people and to the kingdom that he oversaw. This was the hope that every Jewish person would have had. But Simeon was aware, because of God's revelation, that God was coming and was going to deliver this Messiah. And so you can only imagine just the amazing joy that Simeon encounters. I kind of try to think about it and liken it to my 12-year-old daughter being told that she's going to meet Taylor Swift in the evening, right? The joy, even greater than that, as hard as it would be to believe, right? But Simeon's life of revelation reached its climax there in the temple that day when he came face to face with the baby Jesus. And it remarks for us this sense of God's ongoing revelation to Simeon coming to its completion. But then we think about our lives and how is God revealing himself to us? And God is. That's the great news. First of all, we can look to a very tangible reason and knowledge of that. We find ourselves in church today, right? Something has been revealed to us, a need, a hidden longing, a restlessness, that something is not right in our souls, that we need something greater.
Again, the thing that I keep coming back to is this awareness that once social and emotional learning ceases in the school system at the age of 18, there is in America no sense of an ongoing program of moral and ethical training. You just don't think about right and wrong very often if you're not coming to a church. And so it can become very, very difficult to see and understand and acknowledge oneself as having as being a sinner. There's so much of contemporary society that cuts against this awareness that we somehow fall short of the glory of God, and yet God still delivers the message in a lot of different ways. For people all over the world, some people are waking up today and having that mirror moment like I did, only they're becoming aware that what stinks isn't somebody else, but it's in fact them. This awareness and acknowledgement that we're sinners is the first way that God reveals his presence to almost all of us. Now, what makes me say that? Well, I open the pages of my Bible, and there in the scriptures is a wonderful story for all of us to read. It comes to us in the book of Acts, and it deals with the man that we all know as Paul. But long before he was Paul, he was the Pharisee Saul. And Saul was an up-and-comer, a riser. First of all, he checked all the great marks of Judaism. He was born on the right day, circumcised on the correct day and hour. He was from the right family. He had everything. And yet at a certain point and at a certain time, Paul rejects that way of life. In fact, in one of his messages, he even calls it rubbish. But the words he's not using is rubbish. It's actually excrement. He looks at his past and says, it's all garbage. Why? Why? Because in a particular time and in a particular way, God revealed himself in and through Jesus Christ to Paul. Paul, as he is going actively to persecute Christians, is knocked off of his horse and in a grand and wonderful moment is awakened to the presence of Jesus Christ. This, as we know, is a really jarring moment in Paul's life. He's blinded. He is forced to be dependent on the people that are coming at God's instructions to help him. But the fact of the matter was, in a particular time and a particular event, God revealed himself powerfully to Saul, and it upended and changed everything. Again, I've happened to meet people in my life that have had just similar experiences. One of the guys that Clayton and I do Kairos with, a guy named Tom. Tom and I got to talking, and he shared his story with me, that Tom in his younger 20s was pretty much a wild man and had gotten married young but really wasn't respecting much his wife or that bond of marriage and was out drowsing and drinking and doing what young men often do, but married now with a child, and he said things were bad. But that one day he woke up and he had the absolute certainty and knowledge that he was wrong, that his life had taken on a wrong direction and a wrong course. And he knew instinctively what he needed to do. It was revealed to him that he needed to return to his roots, which had been brought up in a church. But it all came forward to him in one stunning moment of realization. And it's a neat story. You should see him. His eyes light up. I mean, you can tell he was powerfully moved by this awareness. In fact, he became so powerfully moved by this awareness that he convinced a couple of his friends to start a company, and they called it Lord and Company because that's what they saw, and they've been very successful. Tom is a good man. But God in that time and in that place revealed to him powerfully that he was out of whack. Now, you might survey your lives and think, aha, I know who needs that, right? The person that needs it is you. But if you think someone else needs it, again, lean heavily into the awareness that Billy Graham brought us, that convicting others of sin is not the role or business of the church. It's not ours. Why? Because God reveals that in his own time and in his own way. And as nice and as kind as it may be to tell somebody that they're drinking too much or carousing too much or doing the wrong thing too much, oftentimes that gets lost. The message gets the carrier killed, and it doesn't have the intended results. Sometimes we have to just be patient and let God do the revealing and not ourselves. We've got to simply listen, listen, love, love. But thankfully, God doesn't just awaken us to his presence, convict us of our sin. He does, in fact, continue to reveal himself just like he did to Simeon throughout the days of his life. How do we know that? Well, we get another story in the Bible, a great one. This one is, of course, about a tax collector, a short man. Physical stature matters. But tax men in that season were a little different than they are now. Today, an IRS agent is probably in a suit and comes to you and tells you very logically and coolly that you owe the government money. Back in the ancient times, it was a far different thing. The Romans put a blanket dollar amount on what they expected each area to deliver, and then they found a willing compatriot, one of the locals, to go out and get that amount for them. But they didn't care if that amount was exceeded, as long as they got theirs. And so what tax collectors did in that era was fairly well known, is that even if the Romans needed 100 drachma, they would go out and levy $1,000 worth of drachmas and keep the other 900 shekels. I forgot the name of the word. Shekels. So they were corrupt, right? They were fallen. They were sinners, right? Just kind of like you and me. But then one day Zacchaeus, this short man of physical stature, this man that's out there doing bad things in the world, he hears about a man named Jesus. He hears about him first as being a healer and then becomes excited and wants to see. But as him being a short man, he has to scale. The Bible tells us it's a sycamore tree. He climbs up just so he can see Jesus. But it wasn't just the revelation of Jesus that was going to be that day. Jesus revealed himself personally and directly, calling Zacchaeus out of the tree. And what we find in the brief but telling interaction is Zacchaeus, in his sin, has become very lonely, right? We miss that about sin. We think sometimes that it's an antiquated, outmoded concept. We don't really need it. The world's moved past it, looking at the realm through self-esteem. And yet, there's something in the awareness that we're not perfect that makes us much more human, relatable, able to help. And so here we find in Zacchaeus' story, this awareness of his fallenness leads to an action. Not much changes without action, does it, right? We can have high hopes and the best intentions, but unless we move from thought to action, things stay the same. We know that Zacchaeus is affected. This revelation of God affects him such that he's going to make good the money, right? He's going to pay back people. He's going to give generously and only collect what he needs. He's changed. His life has been moved in a different direction by the ongoing revelation of God. Guys, we get to see this played out in our Kairos ministry in a lot of neat, really cool ways. We get to see men without hope and often serving lengthy prison sentences get a taste of this good news, this gospel, and then excel and grow to heights that we never even could imagine. There was one, and we lost him, and I've talked about him before, named Shay. Shay was serving a lengthy sentence, got it as a young man, but something clicked. That revelation of God spoke into his heart, and he changed. Unfortunately, as he was being released and paroled, he found himself also diagnosed with cancer. But he never let that diagnosis get him down. He continued to push forward. He got married, was looking forward to resuming his life, and most importantly, sharing the love that he had received from Jesus Christ with others. And he was sadly taken from the world. But what I remember most clearly about him was how that revelation of God kept him joyful every morning. That God was literally revealing himself in a new and special way. And all he had to do was to be awake and looking for it. And that he would find it in the day. That was an inspiring message. And it was the result of God revealing himself in a special way. And then finally, we get another great story of how this redemptive, revelatory power of God awakens and moves people throughout the days of our lives in the Apostle Peter. You know, again, I think as we read our Bibles, we will find in Peter the most human possible character. You've got someone with a lot of potential. You've got someone with gifts that sometimes doesn't use them and sometimes gets things horribly wrong. He continued to do that even after Jesus was gone. Remember, it's Peter that begins to eat with the Gentiles but then gets scared, right? Until God reveals again the true depth and meaning of his message. But as we encounter Simeon, we encounter what we can be as our lives progress, constantly watchful and waiting on the revelation of God. God is still moving in this world, still actively and powerfully bringing people to know him. And again, a great story of this, of seeing the whole circle, is in the author and scholar and theologian's life, C.S. Lewis. Now, C.S. Lewis went through World War I and was so jaded by humanity, he was an atheist, right? But he was an atheist in a scholarly system, but fortunately he was befriended by people like J.R.R. Tolkien and other Christians who came alongside him and started questioning some of his philosophies and insights into modernity. And then in a particular time and in a particular way, God revealed himself to C.S. Lewis, and he converted and became then a very active and vocal participant in apologetics and theology for the modern era. But C.S. Lewis's life was affected, and he met a woman who he fell in love with who was taken from him in cancer. He experienced the full sweep of life, from moving from darkness into the light, and then experiencing that even in the light there can be darkness. And yet through it all, what C.S. Lewis continued to proclaim is the truthfulness and the joy of the gospel. You see, we have a God that has shown us that death is forever vanquished, that death is defeated, that as we die, we depart not into the universe, but into the loving arms of a creator. But it gets even better than that, because what the Bible reveals is that in a particular time and in a particular way, God is going to deliver a new heaven and a new earth. And then he's going to merge those two worlds together, God's space and our space, together in one space yet again, just like it was in the Garden of Eden. But the Garden of Eden wasn't even as good because it too seems to have been bounded by time. And what we are progressing into is an eternal kingdom in which there is peace, love, joy, forever. And we get there because this one man, this one God, Jesus Christ, chose to come into the world. He suffered and died for us and for our salvation. And now, as we await him coming into the world again, we do so with the strongest hope and the most robust joy, because we know that though these days end, that Jesus is coming and that Jesus' return will bring with it the inauguration of the kingdom of God. And then, friends, we will enjoy the peace of Christ for all eternity. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer, remembering that God is with us and knows what we lift up in our hearts. So join me in prayer. Wonderful Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just thank you for this Advent season, for this time of growth and exploration. Father God, as we get closer to Christmas, awaken in us through the power of your revelation the nearness of you and your kingdom. Enable us to feel that joy surging through us and enabling us to go out into the world to be your light bearers. Father God, in this world still broken by sin, we encounter so many sadnesses and problems. And Father God, we lift them up to you. We lift up to you all the names on our prayer list, especially mourning with the Weldy family and others that are missing lost loved ones. Father God, we think of the Cheryl family and realize that Angela is not doing well. And so we pray for Billy and for Angela and just ask, O Lord, that you surround that family in your watch care and your love. So, too, do we pray for the McClure family, thinking not only of Jimmy, but also of Jerry and Tom. Father God, we pray for Steve Self and for Rick McClure. We pray for Rick Green and Sarah Yarborough. We pray for Jill Griffin and Aline Grant. We pray for Sarah Justice and Nancy and Richard Smith. We pray for Scott, Carrie Troxler's son, and we pray for Glenn Monteith. Father God, we lift up to you all of those who we've named, including those that we've named silently in our hearts. Father God, do an amazing and wonderful thing in each and every one of these lives, lifting them up to you and letting them know of your love, providing for them with whatever they need. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we make these prayers, concluding with the prayer he taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now, having heard the word read and proclaimed, it's right and fitting to turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings, remembering that God loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. Father God, how richly you bless us in this holiday season. Awaken us, as always, to the many ways in which you bless and enrich our lives. Heavenly Father, as we bring a portion of those rewards back to you, we just ask that you use this offering, blessing and sanctifying it, to bring about your will and your purposes in your world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The revelation of God comes, and it continues throughout our lives as we await the second coming of Jesus Christ. And in this time of waiting that we do, we find ourselves in the Word and in prayer and in service to the world with the heart, our hearts aligned with Jesus' missions to heal and feed and to touch the world with God's love. As we go out into the world on this final Sunday of Advent, awaiting next Sunday and the arrival of the Christ child, let us spend the day waiting and watching, hoping and sharing the light of Jesus Christ with all. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.